Thank you all for coming, our regulars and special guests and all of your great souls. Coming here to take the darshan of Kishore Kishori and chant the holy name in Sankirtan. This Sankirtan I bet that little boy has a mother and father somewhere. Does anybody know who that little boy belongs to? Okay. The Hare Krishna movement was given the name the Hare Krishna movement by the media, because we would go in the public so often and guess what? Chant Hare Krishna. So the media called us the Hare Krishna movement. But the Hare Krishna chanting for this particular age is the recommended means. Sanskrit term is the Yuga Dharma. Primary means of deliverance of all souls, qualified and unqualified, all souls, even not even in the human species, just be a spirit soul. And if you're a human being, then chant. And if you're not a human being, then listen, be around those that are chanting. We had this nice tree, now he's outside getting sunshine, but I bet he wants to be back here where the kirtan is. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared very early in this age of Kali, he manifested the Yuga Dharma, the chanting, congregational chanting of the holy name, and he selected or empowered Haridas Thakur to be the acharya, or teacher by example of the holy name. So we're honoring the appearance day of Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur. And towards the end we'll also mention something, because today is also the disappearance day. Excuse me, this is the disappearance. It reads wrong, I'll change it. Disappearance of Haridas Thakur. We're going to speak about his disappearance past time. The appearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Some of these pictures in the bottom row, we're just going to speak some about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the bottom row towards the far right, in the middle. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance. And Jiva Goswami, whose picture is over there in that third altar. We'll get there. The basic format of this little presentation I just stole from Prema Trangani. So credit goes to her and her team that helped her put this together. Part of some prayers about Haridas Thakur, written by the biographer, chief biographer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, goes like this, Vrindavan Das Thakur. Mahabhakta Haridas Thakur Jaya, Jaya, Haridas, Sana Rani Sarva Papa Kshaya. All glories to the great devotee Haridas Thakur. By remembering Haridas, all one's sinful actions are vanquished. This is a Sunday program, so I'm going to try to confine myself and not speak too much, but it's hard because when you're speaking about great Vaishnavas, it's real easy to talk a lot and glorify them. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, in his previous life, Haridas was Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma. Who is Lord Brahma? He's big. He's the chief engineer of the entire universe. He's as far as, he's way above the heavenly planets. He's the topmost, his planet is the topmost planet beyond which there's no other planets. There's the coverings of the universe. But Lord Brahma made a little boo-boo. He saw a pastime of Krishna in Vrindavan. That wasn't a boo-boo, that was a good thing. He saw a pastime of Krishna, where Krishna, without all the details of that pastime, Krishna killed the Agasura demon, and Lord Brahma was traveling in his celestial Vimana, the swan carrier, Vimana, airplane, craft, and he saw, and he was in awe, seeing this wonderful pastime. And he began to contemplate, what is the extent of the unlimited powers? Of course, unlimited means he has no extent. But he then, this other thought or desire entered into his heart, I'd like to see that. So he, the next thing came, this idea that he would, after Agasura was killed, it was time for lunch. The boys sat down and had their lunch. And Lord Brahma decided that he would kidnap the cows, put them in a cave, and then the boys would become an anxiety, and then he would kidnap the boys when Krishna went to look for the cows, and see what Krishna would do. He was going to test, what's Krishna going to do now? So what Krishna did blew his mind, as they say in the vernacular. Krishna manifested identical forms of all the cows and all the cowherd boys. Just like that. No problem, because he manifested them to begin with, through his external potency, and this one he did through his internal potency. No problem. For he who has unlimited power, no problem. So Brahma went back to look in the cave, and there he saw the cowherd boys and the cows in the cave. So he went back and to the scene of the crime to see, maybe I'm seeing things. And he saw some things. For each of the cows and cowherd boys, he saw forms of Narayan. Four-armed forms. So many. As many as there were cowherd boys and cows. Each one being honored by the personified Vedas and the host of demigods and cacophony of sound glorifying the Supreme Lord. And Brahma almost fainted. And then all of a sudden they all just disappeared. And then Brahma had this aha experience. He's unlimited. He manifests everything. And he offered beautiful prayers. And you know what Krishna said to his beautiful prayers? Nothing. Krishna didn't even say a peep. Because he wanted to go back and play with the cowherd boys and finish his lunch. He wasn't interested in all these very lofty, very beautiful prayers. He was interested in enjoying his pastimes with the cowherd boys, far more attractive. So Brahma went to a solitary place and began to perform austerities for that offense that he had made. And the place where he went to do that was Navadvip. And Lord Chaitanya appeared and said, Haridas, I've shown myself to you because, excuse me, Lord Brahma, I've shown myself to you because you're my great devotee. And you will be taking part in my pastimes when I appear in this golden form. And Brahma said, well, I don't want to become proud again. So please give me a very humble position of service. So, very well. You can take birth in a non-Brahmin, non-Vaishnav, non-Hindu family. You can take birth in a Malecha family. But I'll make you the Acharya for the Holy Name in that condition of humility. Because to chant the Holy Name perfectly, there must be humility. So Lord Brahma took his birth as Haridas. So when you hear about these pastimes of Haridas, remember who the character is. But in any case, he's the empowered one by Lord Chaitanya to chant the Holy Name. And the biography of his life was, there's not like a, you know, a book written about him, but those things that are known about him, when he was still although he was born in a Muslim family, he was naturally attracted to chanting Krishna's name. That didn't go so well in the Muslim community. But he was just naturally attracted. In fact, he not only chanted, but he chanted a lot. He chanted all day long. Many of us, we chant on beads. And those who are initiated devotees, minimum, we chant 16 rounds a day. Many devotees chant more. Some devotees chant more. But 16 rounds a day generally takes, more or less, 2 hours. Some less, some little more. More or less, 2 hours. So let's do the math. For 64 rounds takes how many hours? 8 hours, right? And 3 times 64 takes 24 hours. He chanted 3 times 64 rounds a day. Every day. Every day. Now, I know some people that chant 64 rounds a day. Even today. I know someone that chants 80 rounds a day. That's 64 plus another 16. Every day. I don't know anybody that chants 64 times 3 every day. Or even once. I don't know anybody that can chant that fast. But he did it every day. Day after day after day after day after day. So, he became recognized, although he wasn't going around advertising himself, he was living in a very simple manner. He became recognized as a saint. And the place, the first place that biography knows about is a place that's right near, I've been there, it's right near the border of West Bengal and now Bangladesh. And the person, the landholder at the time, you're like a leading powerful guy, he didn't like the fact that here's this Muslim-born person that's being honored as a saint and chanting Krishna's name. So he wanted to bring defamation to him. That was like his seed of desire. So he thought of different ways to defame him, and he came up with the idea to send the local prostitutes to go in the middle of the night when he was chanting and when nobody was watching, get him to fall down, and he would have some police and then have him arrested. So everyone would know he's not a saint. That was his plan. So he gathered up the prostitutes. They selected the best amongst them. She said, yeah, I'm the best amongst the prostitutes, and I'll take care of this. But don't send the police the first night. Let me have him fall down the first night, and then second night you can come. So because of time, details make stories very nice, or narrations very nice, but time doesn't permit. So She came. This is her. And, you know, dressed seductively and so on and so on, without all the, how she was, parts of her body were exposed and things like that. And, you know, doing however prostitutes do what they do, saying, oh, you're so handsome, and you're so young, and I'm so attracted to you. Woo, woo, woo. Please satisfy my desires and enjoy with me. And Haridas said, surely I'll fulfill your desires, but I've taken a vow. I have to complete my chanting. So you just sit here by my door. And when I complete my chanting, then I'll enjoy with you. He never finished his chanting. One who is Kirtaniya Sadahari is never finished, right? So the sunrise came. She yawned and said, well, I'll come back. And he said, oh, I'm very sorry. I just couldn't finish. But I have to keep my vow of chanting. So come back tonight and surely. So she went back and told this Ramchandra Khan fellow and what happened. I'll be successful tonight. So same thing second night, same thing third night. And in the course of just hearing his chanting, she became purified. And before the end of the third night, she blurted it out. Ramchandra Khan, he sent me here to get you to fall down so that he could disgrace you and ruin your name and reputation. And I was to be the instrument to make that happen, and I feel so ashamed. And he said, I knew it all along. In fact, I was planning to leave the first night, but I stayed for one reason, to deliver you. But from hearing the holy name, you've become delivered. And so now you're feeling very repentant. Yes, yes. Please give me shelter. Please accept me as a disciple. Kind of a little role reversal. And Haridas said, very well, but you must first, all the wealth, jewels, gold, ornaments, and all those things that you've gathered to this profession of yours, former profession, distribute them all. Give them away to other people and come back with just one cloth. And then I'll instruct you. So she did like that. And when she came back, she had shaved her head, she was wearing one cloth. He said, this little cottage where I'm sitting, it's now yours. This tulsi plant that's right in front of my cottage, it's now yours. You just sit here and chant the holy name of the Lord, and all your necessities will be provided by the grace of the Lord. I'm leaving now. So she became his disciple, and she became in turn respected throughout the land, a former super duper prostitute, now a great saintly person by the grace of Haridas. And he left. And time doesn't permit the whole long explanation of another similar incident took place in a place called Puglia. When he left this place, he went traveling to other holy places. One of the holy places he went to, he met Advaita Acharya. Those of you that are a little new, maybe you know Advaita Acharya from our Panchatattva mantra. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, that one, Gadadhar Shivas Adigora Bhakta Vrinda. When we have kirtan, we say that mantra. So Advaita Acharya and Haridas became great friends because they were pure devotees. And Advaita Acharya honored Haridas as a saint. And Haridas was saying, people won't like you. They'll say bad things about you if you honor me as a saint. He said, you're a saint. I don't, whatever they say. And here's why you're a saint. Because of your, anyone who chants the holy name as you are chanting, you are saintly. You are saintly by behavior, and you're saintly by character, by prachar and by achar. You're saintly. And Haridas, in that same place, near where Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where Advaitacharya resided, in Shantipur, a place called Puglia, he delivered a kazi, and it's a long narration, which there isn't time for. Perfectly humble, perfectly committed to the holy name, completely tolerant, although because he was chanting as he was chanting, another envious kazi wanted to have him killed. The local ruler invited Haridas to come and, we don't want to hurt you. You're a pious person. Just chant the name of God found in the scripture that you were born with, and everything will be nice. And Haridas made a very interesting reply. He said, if whatever it is that is being done wrong by a Hindu who becomes a Muslim, then you can punish me similarly. Someone who chants formally Krishna's name, then chants Allah's name, if he's to be punished, give me the same punishment. But I'll tell you this, you're the representative of God, because that's our, what our scripture teaches us. The ruler is supposed to have that quality and qualification. So punish me as you like, but I'll tell you, if you kill me, if you cut this body into 1,000 little pieces, I'll still go on chanting. Because it's of the soul, and you can't chop the soul into any pieces. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? The soul can neither be moistened by water, or withered by the wind, or cut by any weapon. That's the soul. So the chanting of Haridas was from the soul. Cut the body into little pieces, the chanting will go on. That's chanting. So they beat him in 21 marketplaces. And it took all day long. And the people who were beating were getting tired, and Haridas was feeling no pain. They were amazed. So they told, at the end of the day, they told Haridas, we've never seen this before. No one lives past the first or second or third marketplace. They don't live. 21 marketplaces. And we're exhausted. But the worst part of it is the ruling personality, if he finds we didn't kill you, he think we took it easy on you, and he'll kill us. We'll be in big trouble. Said, I don't want to give you any trouble. So if you like, I can give up my body. So he entered into a state of trance, looking as if he was dead. And they brought the body of Haridas to the ruler, and they said, throw him into the Ganges River. This is what you do with a dead animal. You don't bury him. Throw him in the Ganges. So they threw him in the Ganges, and he floated down the Ganges. And downstream he came out chanting Hare Krishna. Because the king had said, if you survive this, then I'll accept that you're a saintly person. And he survived it. Then he accepted he was a saintly person. He kept his word. He was extremely apologetic. Please forgive me. You're a saint. And I had you beaten in 21 marketplaces. This is a very great sin. So please, please forgive me. So you're forgiven? Haridas was more tolerant than a tree, more humble than a blade of grass, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. And ready to offer respect to others with no expectation for respect in return. I'm stating one, a primary instruction, a very important instruction of Lord Chaitanya. Haridas was the embodiment of that. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later came, appeared, he took part in his pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri after taking sannyas. Haridas went to Puri to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there they had discussions every day on Krishna Katha. And one of the topics that they discussed, of course, was the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a book about it, where they're discussing. So just quickly, mention this verse. This is from Padma Purana, and very nice verse. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinatvam Nama Namino. And the translation is also here, but essentially, the holy name is Chintamani. As the spiritual world is made of Chintamani, the holy name is made of the same substance, Chintamani, because it's directly from the spiritual world. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It bestows rasa. Rasa means transcendental mellow. Just from chanting the holy, if one chants the holy name properly, as one becomes purified from chanting the holy name and goes on chanting the holy name properly, one's original, constitutional, eternal relationship with Krishna becomes awakened. Self-identity and God's identity become known to you just from the holy name. Very special. Purna Shuddho, completely pure. Nitya Mukto, eternally liberated. And Abhinatvam Nama Namino, the name and the object named are not different. But just a little sharing. I had really nice time yesterday. Time is a blur. With a group of college students at Washington University in St. Louis. And one of the persons that was in the assembly is a first year freshman. They've been there for 2 weeks. They really like. And they found the Krishna House. I asked how they found it. So they, before, when they were still like applying for the school, they found the listed amongst the clubs, the Bhakti Yoga Club. They went, well, I want to find out about the Bhakti Yoga Club. Because her mom's a Christian Scientist, but she's also read the Bhagavad Gita. One of those kind of moms. And so she wanted to find out about it. So we had this hour and a half long discussion about the view of Christian Science and the view of Bhagavad Gita. Comparative. It was really fascinating. And when it got to sound vibration, it was really nice. I was expressing this, the name, spiritual sound is not different than the object. You know, you say apple. You want an apple. Say apple, apple, apple. The sound and the object are different. Or water, water, water. Your thirst doesn't get quenched. But if you say Krishna, 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 Krishna's there. Not only Krishna's there, but the whole spiritual world is there. I mean, you know, the river Jamuna and 900,000 cows and peacocks and cowherd boys and trees and cuckoo birds and the river Jamuna and Govardhan Hill and just in that sound vibration. It's a pretty powerful sound vibration. Because the name and the object named are non-different. So, I don't want to get But it was a nice discussion. We're speaking about, she was using the term personhood. Meaning, you know, the body isn't the self, that much they understand. I mean, as we do, Bhagavad Gita teaches, there's a real identity as the soul. So what's the soul, and the mission of having a body is to expand consciousness. Great. And then what happens when you get to the position where your consciousness is fully expanded and the body is kaput? Then what happens? Where do you go? And I said, well, Bhagavad Gita teaches you go to Krishna. You don't become Krishna. You go to Krishna Loka. And it's called Goloka. And you know what Krishna does in Goloka? He herds cows. She said, no. I said, yes. But not cows like these cows. Just like the Bible teaches, man is created in the image of God, right? Yes, what the Bible says. So they read the Bible, man is created in the image of God. So we don't anthropomorphic imagine, well, God must look like we look because I can't think beyond that. It's not that. It's we're created in the image of God. So his form is all spiritual, and we got a material one in his likeness. And the cows, they're surabhi cows, not with material bodies that die, spiritual forms. I mean, it was fun. It was mind expanding. And the sound of Krishna's name includes all of that, everything, the whole of Goloka, and all of his pastimes and all the rasas that can be experienced by the unlimited numbers of living entities in the spiritual world. It's all within the holy name. Woo. That was mind expanding. And then we chanted a little bit. It was another, anyway. So Haridas Thakur discussed the chanting of the holy name with none other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the inaugurator of the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name. It's a wonderful discussion. If you're interested, maybe it's in the bookstore. It's Harinama Chintamani. Just like this verse, Chintamani. Lord Chaitanya and Haridas talking about the holy name. Haridas was elder to Lord Chaitanya, and when he was getting very, 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 very old, it was difficult for him to chant his 3 times 64 rounds every day. So Lord Chaitanya came one time when he was ill and said, Haridas, you don't have to do this anymore. You're on the perfected platform. It's okay. And Haridas said, no, I must. I've taken a vow. I must. Well, you got to eat something. Well, I can't eat till I finish my chanting, but he brought Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath, and you're supposed to take Mahaprasad. So he took his hand out of his bead bag and a little smidgen of Mahaprasad and honor the Prasad of Lord Jagannath and wanted to resume his chanting and made this request. He said, Lord Chaitanya, there's one desire. I don't want to see the pastime of your departure. It would be too painful. So please allow me to leave first before you. And when I leave, I would like to, with my eyes, just like Bhishma Dev, seeing Krishna standing before him, I'd like to see your form and chant the holy name, seeing your form. Please give me that benediction. The omniscient Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and made that arrangement the very next day. The very next day. Just like Bhishma Dev was able to give up his body at will, he received that benediction. Haridas had the same power. So Lord Chaitanya came, placed his feet on his chest, look directly over his body, eye to eye, seeing Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur, with all of his strength, chanted the holy name and gave up his body. Just like that. Just like that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. He picked up his body, as you see, and he told them, start kirtan. And he was chanting and chanting and chanting and dancing and carrying the body of Haridas around and around and dancing and dancing. And then he started a procession heading for the sea, because the place where Haridas was chanting, as you see behind, there's a tree, or at least like what's left of what was a tree. The tree is called a Siddha Bakul tree. And here's how that tree got there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to visit Haridas every day, because Haridas, being so humble, considered himself not qualified to come into the temple. So he stayed outside and saw the chakra on top of the temple, and that way was darshan. So Lord Chaitanya came in person and brought his darshan and Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. But in Puri, in the summer, it gets very hot. So Lord Chaitanya took one of those of you who've been to Puri, you know what I'm talking about. Every morning, part of the morning worship, is they offer a toothbrush to Lord Jagannath. And it's made from a branch of a bakul tree. And it's softened on one end. So Lord Chaitanya took the toothbrush, bakul branch, stuck it in the ground, and instantly a tree formed with big branches and lots of leaves for shade, for Haridas. So Haridas chanted under that bakul tree every day. It became known as Siddha Bakul. And it's much closer to the temple than to the sea. So Lord Chaitanya carried Haridas to the sea, bathed his body with his own hand, brought him to the shore, and with his own hand began digging in the sand and made samadhi for Haridas. Placed the body of Haridas in that hole in the sand, and with his own hand, because he was a brahmana, he knew the rituals, he chanted the mantras and covered the body of Haridas. And today, you can go to the samadhi of Haridas by the shore, close to the shore of the sea in Puri. And very near to the shore of the sea is a place where Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a few centuries later, made his bhajan kutir, his place where he would chant. And that place is now given to ISKCON as a little temple where Bhaktivinoda Thakur resided. We're going to speak a little bit about Bhaktivinoda Thakur next, but first a little bit. Yesterday was Jiva Goswami's appearance day. And a little bit about Jiva Goswami. And so here's his picture, a painting of him. And on our altar, when the curtain opens again, you can look on the right-hand side, for those of you that are new, down. There's six personalities. These are immediate associates of Lord Chaitanya who lived in Vrindavan, and they are known as the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And one of those six is Jiva Goswami. He was amongst them, the youngest, or next to Raghunath Das, who was also quite young in age. And because two of the six were his uncles. And I don't know how to do justice to Jiva Goswami in a short time. He's one of my role models. So how do you honor a role model in a short time? From his childhood, he had such love for Krishna Balaram. His mother, his father died when he was very young. He had an attraction for Krishna Balaram as a little boy. So his mother got him Krishna Balaram deities. And he didn't play, you know, like these kids are doing upstairs. You know, he didn't have a little, one of those things. He didn't, you know, his play was with Krishna and Balaram. Day and night, he would go to bed with his deities. He'd sing to his deities and talk to his deities and play with his deities. And he had love for Radha and for Krishna Balaram. One night, he had a dream. And in his dream, the deities came and stood before him and suddenly transformed themselves into Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And we are the same, they said. And then they transformed back into Krishna Balaram and he woke up. Because his two uncles were the amongst the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, who he had never met. But he had love for Krishna Balaram. And now he heard certainly about them. Now he understood they're the same. He's a little boy. So he wanted very, 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 very much to see Lord Chaitanya. But he was too small to go that distance all the way to Puri. And by the time he was of age to do that kind of travel, Lord Chaitanya ended his pastimes. He was devastated. So the elder Brahmins who had trained him in Sanskrit, and they pronounced, this boy, he's going to be a great personality. He is exceptionally incredible in scholarship. So with permission of his mother, he went to Navadvipa in order to see the places where Lord Chaitanya had performed pastimes in Navadvipa. And before he even got to Navadvipa, Lord Nityananda was waiting for him, saying, I knew you were coming, so I came to greet you. And he embraced him. And they both practically fell unconscious in ecstasy. And in detail, Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami on a tour or pilgrimage to the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Navadvipa. It's a very ecstatic description. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose picture is coming next, wrote about it. He wrote a book about it. That's another hour just to describe what's in that book. And then Lord Nityananda granted to Jiva Goswami residence in Vrindavan, and go and associate with your two uncles, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and make that your place of residence in the holy land of Krishna in Vrindavan, with the blessings of Lord Nityananda. Before you go, go first to Benares, become a student of Madhusudana Vachaspati, who was some kind of relative of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, without the detail, and learn from him, for those of you from India, you know, the six darshans, the interpretations of the Vedas that are atheistic. You know what the opposition is going to say. Learn it A to Z from a great devotee, scholar. So he did that. So before he went to Vrindavan, he's already the super scholar kid. Now he perfectly knows all of what opposing arguments are going to say, and then he became the student of Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan. And following Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami became the next leader or acharya. And he did that for a long time because he was very young. But it was not only an acharya, but he wrote 25 books. He trained the next generation of acharyas as his personal students. He created libraries. He engaged brahmanas, because there were printing presses, in in making copies of the Goswami books. He did the practical arrangements, although Raghunath Das Goswami received the funds and oversaw the construction, but the excavation of Radhakund and Shyamakund. He created the first Sankirtan party of taking books and traveling here and there. I mean, Jiva Goswami is... amazing. And you read his writings, and your jaw will hit the floor. Just to give you an idea, he wrote 400,000 verses in Sanskrit. And some of you may know, how many verses are there in Bhagavad Gita? How many? 700. How many verses are there in Srimad Bhagavatam? 18,000. How many verses are there in Mahabharata? 100,000. So it's like he wrote 3 Mahabharatas, about 7 or 8 Bhagavatams, 5 or 6 Bhagavad Gitas, and a bunch of other books, along with everything else that he did. And those of those 400 verses, I like Jiva Goswami. Some of you may have met Radhika Raman. He's, when he was a teenager, I forget what age, 14 or 15, something like that. Brilliant. He got a full scholarship at Oxford University. Teenager, full scholarship. And his PhD thesis was on 3 verses of those 400,000 verses of Jiva Goswami. So how rich and deep and thick and amazing are the writings of Jiva Goswami. And he carried forward. He carried forward the disciplic succession. It's known historically, after a great luminary, a great spiritual figure leaves, it takes 1 or 2 generations and things collapse, because there isn't a luminary like that person. His two uncles continued things after he departed. Jiva Goswami continued things after they departed, and he created the next generation that would continue things after he departed. Yay! Jiva Goswami. And we were honoring his appearance day yesterday, along with something else. And, whoops, just another superlative luminary. In fact, he's called the 7th Goswami, because the 6 Goswamis were in Vrindavan, and they restored the places of Krishna's pastimes and wrote books about Krishna Bhakti, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur restored the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and wrote 100 books. Ever try to write a book? Try to write a paper in school? Try to write a Vyasa Puja offering once a year? You know how long it takes? 100 books. And they're high philosophy. I mean, without, because of time. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur similarly met many, many challenges in his life to restore the respectability and the integrity and the veracity of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, who during his lifetime, it had gone down and down and way down. There were deviations. The deviations were more prevalent than the real thing. But he took the real thing and restored it to respectability, especially amongst the intelligentsia of his time, who were really under the whammy of the British. And the British slogan was, everything British is good, and everything indigenous to India, bad. So in the midst of that intellectual atmosphere, he restored the respectability, the integrity, and the strength of the teachings of pure devotion. And he envisioned that the message of Lord Chaitanya would go all over the world. He wrote books about how that would happen and that there would happen. And he made his own efforts. He passed on that inspiration to his son, Bhakti Siddhanta, who made it a major part of his mission to bring the teachings to the English-speaking parts of the world, who passed that inspiration on to our founder, Acharya, who did it. And we can give the credit to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, we give the credit to the one who did it. I'll just end with this. I was on one morning walk conversation with Prabhupada in Mayapur. And it was not what it looks like today. It was just fields in all directions. Plus our little, you know, the first temple. And Prabhupada was, this particular morning, was speaking about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And if you think I was getting a little animated about Jiva Goswami, he was really animated about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He loved Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he was speaking glories and glories and glories and glories and how visionary and how powerful and how important. And so when there was a little pause and somebody said, Prabhupada, he had this vision. Why didn't he take the teaching of Lord Chaitanya all around the world? And Prabhupada was silent, stopped, put his cane down. In a soft voice, he said, he gave something for us to do. And he looked at all of us. Not like something for him to do, something for us to do. So that's the something for us to do. In this awesome line of disciplic succession, be examples of what the teachings are, and create situation, a community, and spread it by that nice example. Very important. Be the example and spread by that nice example of what the teachings of devotion are. This was the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's so much to say, and I've got to end. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki.
Jai.
Srila Jiva Goswami ki.
Jai.
Srila Haridas Thakur ki.
Jai.
Gaur Premanande. Haribol.